Welcome to the Facewalker Podcast, number 65. A new year. A whole year of possibilities. It's 2015, everybody. Happy New Year. For this podcast, we sit down with Matt, Dez, and Benji, talk about the New Year's. We talk about our Christmas hauls. Matt relates a story from his misspent youth collecting AOL CDs. It's just as ridiculous as it sounds. And by the way, for 2015, January 2015, two things, very cool things are happening. One, the VGHS Season 3 soundtrack is available on iTunes now. It's like 100 tracks of just fully symphonic goodness, including the fantastic folk song by our friend Devin and Raul Panther III at the beginning of episode 6. So if you're a fan of VGHS and the music contained therein, go ahead and head on over to iTunes and download that. Also, our board game, VGHS board game, is going to be out in board game shops around the country. So be heading into those hobby shops and looking for it there. Enough of that. Let's get on with the podcast.
No, everybody said Benji should introduce, though people did say I did a pretty good job.
Said over I
one person said you did a good job.
I thought Matt did good.
Multiple people. One person said Benji should do it. So Benji.
That's one person.
Yeah,
multiple
but
you.
He
that
was
you
he
win.
Had a lot of conviction. Go.
All right, here we go. Benji, open it.
Introduce us.
Oh, man.
You can take a breath.
What? Wait, number 60?
No, we don't do it right here. Welcome, everybody, to the Facewalker Podcast. In the new year, 2015, the first one coming. Coming at you, right?
Yeah, it's the first one. Oh, that's my intro. That's what I get.
So now you both did a bad job.
Yeah. Wow. Freddie doesn't want to give up
Freddie,
the job.
You started rocking it, but then you threw it over
people,
to Benji.
Well, because people want to just listen to our voices here.
Introduce us, Freddie. You do a good job. Introduce
Screw
us.
You, Matt.
No, you do. You threw it. You tried. Benji did the bad job. You threw it to Benji, and he failed you. So
we are joined in this glorious new year 65. By the cynic to my right, Matt Arnold.
Hello.
The optimist to my right, Dez Dolly.
Wait, what? Really? All right, yeah. I'll take it.
And the,
that feels really reversed.
Yeah, it does. I'll take it, though. I'll live with
and
that.
The, so. And the man with the second chance here, Benji Dolly.
I'm getting a second chance now?
And there it went.
Is this the first of the new year?
This would be the first one of the new year.
I guess so.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Et cetera.
Does it feel like a new year for you guys?
No. So let's talk about New Year's. What happened? How did you guys spend New Year's?
Waller. Spent it with Waller.
Did you?
Yeah.
What? He's here?
Ben Waller, who works here at the company, we went over to his apartment. And they had some friends. We had some friends, and it was a very adult party. People sitting around in fancy socks,
really.
With some nice music, nice music on the record player.
Yeah,
adult beverages, playing Parcheesi type games and whatnot. You know, we went up to the roof
and watched
the fireworks all across the horizon.
Downtown and whatnot.
Downtown.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time.
I was supposed to go, but I fell asleep at around 9:30.
Yeah,
9:30 p.m.
I fell asleep.
And woke up in 2015.
I woke up at around like 3 and then texted because I saw like a family group text. Like everybody saying Happy New Year. And I was like, oh man, I missed two time zones.
How did you feel missing it though? Did it matter?
Or
I
didn't care.
I'm getting to the point where I'm like, I should just sleep like a normal day.
Well,
just go to bed.
I'll tell you how I feel. I could care less about New Year's, to be quite honest. You know, I went out because it was a thing to do.
We didn't go out. But we got the invitation from Ben, and Ash and I just watched like 12 episodes of Arrow.
That's not a bad call.
Paused it. 10 seconds before New Year's. Didn't even change it to the TV.
The ball.
We just watched our little clock on the
turn?
DVR.
Oh, wow.
That's depressing.
On the DVR, it turned. We're like, hey, Happy New Year. We took some drinks of champagne. Back to Flash. It's fantastic. What are you talking about? Went to bed. That was great. That's when you're an old person. That was the best New Year.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of New Year. What about you, Freddie?
I was on a boat in the middle of the Caribbean.
Of course.
Yeah,
we're sleeping through it.
Fancy Freddie Wong over here.
Well, to be fair, well, nice. So I went on a bro cruise with a bunch of people from college, and also Will Campos, writer VGHS,
also from college.
Yeah, everyone from college. I gotta say, cruise ships kind of suck.
Yeah, you don't
that was them. my conclusion. Because I was kind of jazzed about. I'd done one of the Disney cruises, and I was just like pumped up. I remember coming back to the stateroom or the cabin is where they gussy it up. But it was like a folded towel animal and a mint on the pillow. And I was like, this is the best thing ever. Yeah. Like, everything about this is great. And then, like, as an adult, you're just like, this is just like a gross, watertight container of drunk people.
It takes more than a mint on your pillow to turn that around.
And old people slowly dying. And then, like, I was like, okay, but guys.
I liked my cruise.
But I was like, guys, all the alcohol you can drink. One, I don't drink. So the thing I did, they're like, oh yeah, the first thing they sell you on the moment you step on board, they're like, hey, here.
The alcohol pack.
Alcohol pack.
Yeah.
You can get free alcohol, all booze, all time. It's, you know, it's like $30, $60, $120, extreme package, booze package. And I was like, is there one just for soda? Like, yeah, we have the Coke package for kids, $5 a day. I'm like, I'll take that.
I'll take it.
So, and the best part is, like, everyone else had to get their car swept and stuff like that. I walked to the bar, flash my room key with a little Coca-Cola sticker on the big car.
Soda pass.
Here, soda. So, but then I noticed also, because, again, I don't drink, but I know a little bit about the construction thereof. When they make these drinks, you're thinking tropics, you're thinking Caribbean, you're thinking, man, this is going to be great. You're in this, you know, it's going to be, you're by the pool, you're on the water. Everything behind the bar is just frozen mix, like margarita mix. And it's just like, this can't be that good. Mm-hmm. And not surprisingly, it wasn't.
It doesn't have to be that good. It just has to
get you drunk.
It's a buffet.
What was the cruise
mindset?
Like?
Yeah.
Did you encounter rough water?
It was a little bit.
I was wondering about that. Because I always go on YouTube and watch videos of giant ships and crazy rough water.
As the captain would say, we got this
chop. I'm always like, what is that like if you're on a cruise ship?
Well, so to be fair, one, you're in the Caribbean. So not a lot of crazy, you know.
No chop.
I mean, you have the Bermuda Triangle, to be fair.
Yeah.
But it's not like crazy, like transatlantic.
But that's interdimensional travel.
Totally different.
Yeah, that doesn't.
Wait, did he go to Bermuda?
No, we went to Haiti. And Jamaica.
How long was the
Jamaica
cruise?
5 days.
That seems
so. Here's the funny thing about Haiti, by the way. Well, anyway, so
funny thing about Haiti.
So funny.
But they generally remember. You got to think about the demographic of a cruise ship, right? It's not a bunch of stevedores like rolling around in the deck. No, it's a bunch of old people. Yeah. Like their hips are fragile. Like if that thing moves too much at all, they got lawsuits on their hands. They got 18 broken hips.
So they never brought out the throw bags.
No, they never brought throat bags.
We had huge chop when we went on the cruise, and they got to the point where everybody just like locked their rooms, and they just had people around with bags to give you.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And it was great because it was sushi night. Well, this turned into the best night to the worst night.
Wait. Real quick, Matt, a little bit of background. When did you go on the cruise? Where was the cruise?
It was to Bermuda. It was for my grandparents' 50th anniversary. They brought like the whole family.
Yeah.
So they paid for everybody.
The whole clan.
Seven days. Nice. I loved it. I just sat on a boat and ate and read, and like I was super lazy, so maybe I wouldn't like it now. But I just remember specifically the night that it was a massive storm. You could still go up on the deck. At a certain point, they made you go off, but it was like perfect storm style, other than the big final wave that killed everybody. But it was like hitting huge waves. Like you see this massive, you could look backwards and look like, you know, look like a skyscraper, like shifting up and down.
Whoa, yeah. So you would see like gigantic.
Yeah,
how big it was, it looked intense.
It looked, I mean, you could, it felt like you're on a giant seesaw.
Whoa.
Like it was massive. It was really choppy. But like, you know, the ship's not going to flip and everything goes business as usual. Like you can still get drinks. It's just like really rocky. But they were handing out throw bags, but we were so excited because it was sushi night. And it was like free, you know, you had already paid for it, sushi.
Yeah.
And my uncle was like, we're still doing this, guys. We're still getting sushi. There's literally not a single person at the sushi bar except for me, my uncle, and my brother. And the chef was just like, well, all right, whatever you guys want. Like, I literally have enough sushi for 180 people. Like, so we just sat there for like 4 hours, just ate an absurd amount of sushi, like happy as could be. 30 minutes later, I spent the next 6 hours throwing up till 4 a.m. just storm. I just remember being in the tiny bathroom.
Instant karma, just moving
around the wall.
Instant karma.
Just missing the toilet because it was moving so much. Just vomiting fish all night. It was so, our room smelled like fish for the next 3 days.
Honestly,
it was miserable. My brother didn't throw up for some reason, but I did.
That sounds awful.
Wait, real quick.
It was the worst. They make me hate sushi, though. A lot of other stuff, if you have like a lot of throw up, you can't have it anymore.
Yeah.
But like, the next day, I was like, where's that
more sushi?
Where's that sushi? Yo, that's still good. You went to the show. Yo, you had 108 people worth. We was only three. You got at least 4 more days of this sushi.
Yeah. I still like the cruise.
So the best
despite
part
that night.
So apparently, as we were hearing about this, but apparently on cruises, people get like just murdered all the time. Like it's a fairly common occurrence.
The guy was saying, I feel like he's just messing with you.
But here's what I do know.
Conspiracy that there's a lot of people that get kidnapped and sold into like the international slave trade.
Here's what I know about cruises.
Yeah,
that's how
they get away with it. Like they take them on a boat onto a different boat.
they already got the hard part, which is getting an American citizen on a boat in international waters.
Yeah,
that's the first part. That's the first step. The rest of it, easy peasy.
Anything goes.
Yeah, but here's why.
It's like the plot of Taken 4.
Because people fall. Well, people also just get drunk and fall off the ship a lot. Mm-hmm. And if you're off the ship, it's done. You're done.
Well, it's not like Speed 2. They don't stop the boat and send a guy out on a little orange raft.
What happens in Speed 2?
I don't know. I'm just saying like any movie.
I haven't seen it.
Well, Speed 2 is exactly like
Cruise
Speed
Control.
1, so it's probably a poor example because that boat actually can't stop or it'll explode.
My question with that one, just incidentally on that one, on Speed 2, what prevented, I didn't see the movie.
Yeah.
So it's like the roads in Speed 1 made a very clear, like, rule set, and i.e. you can't blow through a school, you can't blow through the convenience store, there's roads that the bus has to drive on. Speed 2, why can't the boat
it was like a bomb in a building. It was the same thing. It was just with the ticking clock that eventually the building would hit an island.
But what Freddie is saying is that in the first one, there were obstacles. Like, the road will run out. So what they did in Speed 2 is, for some arbitrary reason, they were going to run ashore.
Yeah.
You know, which makes no sense. Just turn it around.
Well, they can't just turn.
That's the ticking clock. Well, that's because,
it's
like,
just that they're running out of time. We need to get off the boat.
They
didn't
know where the bomb was. Yeah. So they're trying to find the bomb. And then the bad guy's more active. He's, like, shooting people on the boat.
Also, he's like, don't turn this boat around, Captain.
No, I think that he, like, breaks the controls.
No way.
He breaks the
ship's wheel.
Yeah. I just remember the shot of the boat like hitting the island. We should watch Speed 2.
Speed 2, I bet it's a blast coming back to Speed 2 Cruise Control.
I think it's the third one.
I'm pretty sure isn't there a scene where a guy's like taking a leech bath?
Yes. That's like the only, and I don't know how that's connected to the movie.
Is it Busey? Who's the
villain? That's like the only. How are there leeches? How are there leeches in that movie?
Under Siege is Gary Busey. Under Siege is classic.
Yeah, we should also watch Under Siege.
And Under Siege 2.
Wait, why are there leeches in Speed 2?
Yeah, the bad guy, like, I remember in one scene, he's just taking a bath.
Is this like a creepy thing?
I think he's one of the, he's one of the family members. What's the family members from the Goonies?
The Fratellis.
The skinny, tall Fratelli brothers taking like a leech bath. He's like the bad guy.
The guy was a Bond villain,
he's like sitting there going, ugh.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like a weird
like
thing
powerful.
Where it purifies. Yeah, it's like purifies your blood or something.
Yeah, he's like, I'm ready to attack.
I remember. Yeah.
It's weird. I love how relaxed he is after this leech bath. It's just like a spa thing. You know,
it's so funny to remember that. I remember that because that taught me what leeches were. Like, I literally did not know what a leech was until I saw that movie. Like, I'd heard the term, but I hadn't seen it on National Geographic. I remember that specific scene. I'm like, what the hell is... Yeah. What's going on, Mom?
Yeah,
and she's like, those are leeches. I'm like, those are leeches? She's like, yeah, they suck your blood. I'm like, So Speed 2?
Sorry for taking us all on that bizarre tangent.
I was trying to say
when someone falls off a cruise ship, they don't stop the cruise ship.
Yeah. No, they do. They do. If they see you.
If it happens right away.
So they'll do, and here's what often happens.
Chopped up by the propeller.
Well, here's what will happen.
Here's
what happens oftentimes is if someone sees you fall off, they'll call man overboard and they'll do a whole procedure for that, as every ship should do, by the way. It's not just like ships are just callous to human life.
Yeah.
But the problem is, if you're falling off the ship and someone sees you, odds are you're falling off from one of the higher decks and you're dead when you hit the water, or you've broken your neck or whatever. So it's like, it's not your chances of, you're 11 stories up.
Yeah, it's really
you're
high.
Way
like, you're
high
like
up.
On like a skyscraper.
You're on like a skyscraper.
Oh, so yeah, okay.
So you ain't surviving.
So you're done.
Yeah. You're done.
I mean, unless like, you know, you're jumping off for fun.
And if you're not done, the last thing you want is to be touched. Moved around in the water.
Yeah. Yeah, like, just leave me.
Yeah, don't leave me.
Get out of here with your daiquiris and your shitty margaritas. Just leave me be.
Yeah,
but yeah, it would be easy to throw somebody overboard.
So apparently that's what happens
a lot.
Yeah, like
cruise ships
are at night,
Dateline hot
at night. Yeah,
get them drunk and whoops, they slipped.
And so what apparently I was reading about this. One of the things that you don't realize is that cruise ships are
they're gonna find that body.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, a lot of times
they know what happens because the body washes up later, way later. But here's the thing. So what you don't realize also is that cruise ships they're like casinos. They have cameras everywhere. Mm. They're watching every single thing. And a lot of times I've heard that like there are situations where the family's like, this person was killed. My relative was killed. And there's like, yeah, they just got drunk and was an idiot and just fell off.
And they fell.
And it's like, yeah, we have footage and proof of that.
Yeah.
So yeah. So anyway, cruise ships. Anyway, so that was my yeah,
there you go.
Oh, all right.
So I
feel like every week you guys just try and find a way to like negate another possible sponsor.
So Carnival, yeah. Royal Caribbean. No. Wait. So the theme of your cruise ship was just old
debauchery,
people drunk and debauchery.
The
what was the
seas.
Theme of your cruise?
Like there's some no, sort of throwing up sushi for 3 days.
There's no theme because I know there are some cruises where there's like planned touristy type stuff. Like they have like now you go to bingo and now you do the stand up comedy and like this is your time.
So really quick on the subject of
bingo.
Because
old people especially like that's like
on the
way
subject
they
of bingo, and this wasn't the case on our cruise, bingo's, but apparently hot tip for people going on cruises. Will got this tip from a guy sat next to on the airplane. If they have bingo on the last night, go do it. Because everybody else is just like, bingo, forget that. But it's like, they're giving away thousands of dollars of bingo like on that one
that's
night
cool.
And nobody goes. Yeah. So.
Do they have any... I feel like I would go on a cruise if it had some sort of rad theme and it weren't just like, oh, it's a mall. A floating mall.
It basically
or a casino
is a throwing,
on the water.
Floating mall, man.
Like, it's, like a, it's like a
I mean,
floating
that sounds like
restaurant.
Fun for a day or maybe two, but...
If you take it... Again, it's the same thing I liked about the train, because I took this train to Seattle for the holidays, which was like... Essentially like a mini cruise ship. It was like two days. Yeah, it's like Polar Express.
It's like a West Coast Polar Express.
If you can, I'm such an anxious person. Yeah, like I have to be doing 1,000 things. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I'm like, I'm gonna die tomorrow, so
I gotta keep moving, man. I gotta play every
movie and try every soda drink imaginable. Like I'm just very stressed out all the time. So like a cruise ship is like
so
a very
so many sodas out there.
I know. It's like that's
so many video games.
Exactly.
Such stress.
Too many to try.
So a cruise ship or something that keeps me contained with no options of doing anything. Like, is the one of the only ways I can focus. Like, I read so much on that train. Like, I read more on that train than I did the last 2 years.
4 years of
and
school.
If I was on a cruise ship, I read like 4 novels.
Were you
and
in
I got
your,
a bunch of work and writing done. Like,
were you in your cabin while you're reading and
no,
writing?
No, the cabin's really small. They just have, if you take the sleeper from Seattle to Los Angeles, you get to use this parlor car, which is just like a big open, comfy chair lounge with like huge windows and the view's awesome. So
view's
like
awesome.
I was just there for you know 18 hours.
And when you're on a cruise ship, it's the same thing. You're just
well,
on
you have
the
a
deck
very
and there's a nice view.
Yeah, and there's just like every at least on our cruise ship, it's like even the hallways just have chairs like lined up against the windows and it's just big open areas and there's a lot of places to sit and do whatever.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. If you can occupy yourself, if you're not dependent on bingo night and the Saturday night fever live show and all that, if you're not dependent on that and you just sit around and just do your thing, then you're probably okay.
How did everybody else like it?
I think people liked it. I mean, again,
would you liked it more if it was by yourself?
Probably. I'm gonna be honest. Yeah.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah, just to get away.
Because here's what I've been looking for. Like in the last like year, I've been looking for an excuse to just sit down and learn the new Unity, just because I want to like, this looks like fun. Mm. But I just had no time to do it. And I was like, the cruise will be when I do it. And I was just like, I can't find a place to plug in. And I was just a pain. Yeah.
And everybody wants to. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Do they have a WWE-themed cruise, Ben? Should I would do that? How cool would something
incredible.
Like that be? You know? Or like a rock and roll cruise or something.
There's got to be some sort of ridiculous... I mean, there's got to be something, right?
Well, they have it.
There's film festival cruises.
In terms of themed cruises, though, I want to point out...
from New York themed cruise.
didn't someone come to us not too long ago and pitch us an idea?
Well, here's an incredible themed cruise that they had a... New Kids on the Block cruise.
No.
Have you heard about this?
No.
So it was all the members of New Kids on the Block and their like cougar fans hanging out on the open seas. And they're just
so
all five
weird.
Of them were going to be there. They were going to do a concert. They were going to do signings. They were just going to hang around. And people that sign up were just New Kids on the Block fans.
That sounds like fun.
If you're a fan, New Kids on the Block.
How's it not a Speed 2 cruise control themed cruise?
Right?
That'd be fun. Like they go through the whole.
It's like an escape room.
It's almost
themed
like a
cruise.
Mystery dinner theater. Type
yeah,
yeah, but the whole
cruise.
Yeah,
there's a bomb on this cruise. Sorry, we can't turn. We're gonna hit land in 2 hours.
Sushi buffet.
Bingo night is tomorrow.
Sushi buffet starts in 3 hours, ladies and gentlemen.
It's every night.
That sounds like a blast.
Like a Batman stunt show type thing. It's for the ship.
They push,
that sounds rad.
Pushing the story along. Yeah.
See, I would need a little more excitement, you know, than bingo night. A little more.
Yeah.
Little
to be
more.
Fair, Dez, it's hard to beat the pulse-pounding thrills of waiting for that number to be called to complete the bingo shape. There's very few things on this mortal realm
I will
that live
admit,
up.
You know, winning bingo feels pretty good.
I feel it's kind of dangerous
have you ever
asking
won
for
bingo?
More excitement on a cruise.
Have you ever
yeah,
won?
You gotta be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Have you ever won bingo?
No.
I've never won bingo.
No.
Anytime
no.
I've ever played.
Remember,
ever.
We played for our holiday party. Yeah. I got guys to my left and right winning 5, 6, 7, 8 hands in a row, and I got nothing.
I think people
not even close.
I think people cheated.
I got like 5.
I have, beef. I have beef over that that gift giveaway.
I'm gonna tell you,
some people were walking away with 4 or 5 presents. I got nothing.
Yeah, but they're all but those were the terrible ones.
They still got something,
but they're terrible. Some were terrible. Good,
really?
Some yeah, some were like somebody just like had like
some was just like it was just like
tampons.
Well, yeah. Some of it was just
it's
like
the white elephant.
Like,
it was all crappy gifts.
It was all like uncollected debt. Like you all of a sudden had to owe a casino like all this money. It was
if
awful.
I would have known you could have given that away, I would have wrapped that out of
yeah, that
would have
been great. I would have given that up.
I gave Joey a junior bacon cheeseburger.
What
for my white elephant gift? He was
pretty,
pretty
good.
Pretty stuff.
Like a coupon or a real?
No,
fact,
I wrapped up. I JVCB. Gift wrapped JVCB along with the Blade trilogy DVD pack.
That's an evening, ladies and gentlemen.
That right? Broke some health code violations.
Well,
sure.
Maybe. Don't tell anybody.
Well, speaking of gifts, what did you guys get over Christmas? We haven't talked about this.
Yeah,
well, we were adults. You got
what socks, did you get yourself then? Jeez,
socks and money.
I got some good socks
and money.
I got some good socks. I did. I got socks. I got a rad pair of like mummy socks. They look like my feet are wrapped up like mummies.
Oh, they're not themed like Brendan Fraser.
They're not,
like,
not
like
Brendan Fraser.
Like
themed.
Brendan Fraser socks.
They're like cartoon mummy.
Arnold Foslow socks.
I bought my brother a Back to the Future
scarabs
watch.
You bought him what?
A Back to the Future watch.
Okay,
it's got a the flux capacitor is the face.
That's cool.
And it blinks to tell you time. And it was so cool, I went and got myself one.
So, but you're not wearing it.
No, I'm not wearing it.
I want to see it.
Yeah, I'll wear it.
You didn't even wear it, and you talked about it.
I know.
I got a, what is that?
I sat down with a nutritionist over the break, as is my usual yearly thing, which is get my teeth cleaned.
So we're not talking about gifts anymore.
Well, no. So he told me that Freddie told me very specifically, she was like, you need to get a Fitbit. She was like, you don't get to, and it's like, and you need to do, and I don't think this is even possible. She was like, you need to get a Fitbit, and you need to do 15,000 steps a day. Mm. I was like, that's a lot. I was like, so I just got it. I just got it.
What Fitbit did you get?
The standard 4.
Do you have it on right now?
It's charging in the other room.
Yeah,
that's the problem. It always charges.
Nobody's wearing.
You
a
can
watch.
Do 15,000. I'll do. I have my Fitbit. We'll do it.
15,000. So
it's not that much.
It's not that much.
You can do 15. You can do
15,000.
Yeah.
And the best part about this Fitbit, I'm like, great. Finally, now I can like quantifiably show how much of a fucking lazy like
mother. It is true.
Like, it's like great. Now I just have a graph showing me that I'm lazy as hell. Fantastic. I have proof.
How accurate is the sleep thing on that thing?
I don't know, man.
Because it terrified me when I saw my sleep schedule from that thing.
What is your sleep schedule?
It was like I was waking up every
accurate.
5 minutes throughout the entire night. Like,
oh, that's
like my sleep was like it just looked like an earthquake. I was like, is this what happened like during
to
this? What
fair,
am I looking at?
To be fair,
every night like someone.
That. Yeah.
To be fair, I've been near you when you've been sleeping, and
yeah, we slept together. You don't need to be shy about it.
Having an earthquake graph is not too far off the truth.
Yeah.
Dude, when you sleep, you sleep hard, man. Like you like roll over. Like I wouldn't. I clear things out of the way. Like you're a seizure. Like you know. Like, I don't want you to hurt yourself. Like hard objects, sharp objects are being moved out of the way. You like wail around.
You do
in
flail,
there, man.
You
flail.
I feel so bad for Ashley.
It's like
she's
swinging
always,
clubs around.
Because I'm like, because she's a very light sleeper and she needs her sleep. Like she's like, I need sleep 8 hours a night.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I sleep an hour for some reason, I'll survive the next day. So like every night, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go. She's like, I really want to sleep in bed though. It's really nice to have you in bed. I'm like, okay, but do you really want me to stay in bed? And she's like, it is going to be a long day tomorrow. Because like, I'm like, I'm just going to stay up and play video games and I'll sleep on the couch. Like, it's very much like I keep her awake all the time.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that that the nutritionist said, I didn't realize this, was interesting. What she said, and she's like, I don't know why this is. It's kind of weird. It has to do with, like, you know, hormones and imbalance. It's like, if you sleep on average under 5 or over 12 hours a night, you're fat, period. And she's like, no, there's no, like, nothing you do will change that.
Yeah.
So you can be the most fit person, but if it's under 5 over 12, just like it's just how your body gets set up mm-hmm. during the day.
Feels like she needs to do a little more research. She's probably right. I just feel like she should know why she's right. Like, no offense to her, but like, if her job is nutritionist,
well, I'm sure
she would be.
It was a very fast thing. I'm sure she knows and she has all the studies.
No,
and
yeah,
stuff.
I mean for sure. It's. I mean, sleep is when your body like does the magic shit it needs to do for you to be a human being. Like, if you can exercise a ton, if you don't sleep, your muscles don't like whatever grow because that's when they
heal.
Exactly, that's when they heal and whatnot. Yeah, sleep's important.
It is.
Unless
so,
you don't sleep.
Fitbit, socks. What'd you get, Bench?
Fitbit. I got. I didn't get a Fitbit. I got some boots.
Some boots.
I got boots. Some boots. I got some boots. Some hiking boots, which I haven't used hiking boots pretty much ever in my life, and they're considerably heavier than normal shoes.
Yeah.
So I have not yet hiked in them before. Went hiking in them for the first time. My legs were so sore. The front of my shins.
Yeah.
Because it was like a different weight, you know, and I had to use my toes more than ever. So, the next day I couldn't walk. I hurt so bad.
We had a friend of ours. He's a photographer.
But I love him.
News photographer.
Love him.
And one of the rules when you're shooting in the Mideast for one of the news agencies, he had to wear a flak vest 24/7. Like the only time you can take it off was like if you're taking a shower, and then like the moment you stepped out, towel off, flak vest on, you sleep with it on, everything. And he was like, the weird side effect of that is that like after his like 6 month like deployment, and he came back to the U.S. He was like, in Vancouver, he's Canadian. He was like, he's just like, oh, you know, it's like, let's take a shower. And he took off this flak vest and he looked at it. He's like, oh my God, I just became ripped without even trying. Like, it's just because by wearing an extra 30 pounds for 6 months straight, like, his body was like, all right, I guess we're dealing with this now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he just became jacked. He's like, whoa, hey, that was great.
Like Spider-Man.
Like, minus the fact that I almost died 8 times, but other than that.
Good side effect.
I also got some off-brand Nerf guns I got to show you guys.
Yeah. No way.
The Boomkos.
They're really cool.
Whoa. Slow down.
Wait, you have them? I was going to buy them.
Oh, no. My lady bought me the Boomkos.
Those are off-brand. Those are Mattel's. Those are Mattel's.
As Mattel?
10-year research in the making attack on Nerf.
I will say this. I am so stoked with my new Boomkos.
Okay.
Are they good? They are so much fun.
Because they're so much fun. Stick
the
on
material
the
science stick. That went into the dark
they
tips.
We watched like a 30-minute featurette on this.
Did you really?
About the guy?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They kept trying.
Follows us on Twitter.
What?
Yeah. The materials engineer follows us on Twitter. Like,
we
got to
hit him up. We got to get Boomkos for the office.
You got to bring them.
They're the most epic, like in motion, like reloading and attacking.
The reload
like,
is so fulfilling.
Like
more
feeling
so than
like
I think any other Nerf gun I've ever had.
Type weapon possible.
It's got like a 360 degree grip, and you squeeze it, and then you just whip your arms down, and the gun spins around in a circle.
It's so awesome.
Yeah.
What? We were so.
We're going
to
Toys R Us right now.
Yeah, we are.
They're
this
the
podcast.
Coolest.
We were so excited about them because me and Freddy were watching this feature.
Well, first of all,
but they hadn't come out yet.
Yeah, it was like two months away. Yeah.
And we were so pumped and we ran into Toys R Us. We're like, oh, wait, they're not out yet.
Yeah.
And we forgot about them.
They pack a punch.
Let me back up for a second.
Yeah, they shoot farther.
Let me back up for a second. We have been looking for some sort of safe projectile based office fun solution.
Mm hmm.
For 3 years now.
Yeah.
And Nerf is great. Mm-hmm. And Nerf has been pushing that envelope forward
with all the new stuff. Really good. The problem is we just lose.
We lose at darts.
Here's what we don't do. If we're like a real company, we can spend money on something. We should have just bought a barrel of darts at this point. The problem is like we buy darts. We don't buy darts. We buy the guns. Everybody brings
it
the new guns out.
It comes with six darts.
And then
they're gone.
The first day, everybody's shooting six darts. Second day, everybody's shooting three darts in their gun. The last day, everybody has one dart, and it becomes like a duel where everybody only has one gun, and then we don't have any darts.
If everyone had a dart bin on next to their desk or something like that.
No, we should literally have a barrel in the middle of the office.
Yeah.
It's like that. I remember a game show on Nickelodeon. I remember something where they did that, where they had like the Nerf darts in the middle of a barrel, so when you played, you had to run to the barrel to reload. But anyways, we just need like a big barrel of Nerf darts.
That sounds like fun.
24.
Hey, if you got something to say, you can say it.
We're telling secrets over here. numeric code secrets.
Yeah, we're just seeing how long we are going, Matt.
All right.
Yeah, but
no, we're working on Enigma.
I vouch for Boomco.
We saw the Alan Turing.
We're going to get Boomco afterwards, and maybe that'll be the toy of the year. Maybe that'll be the toy.
Maybe that might just be 2014, 2015, 2016 toy.
It gets my vote.
Is that already on the short list for 2015's toy of the year?
Well, it came out last year, so we'll have to retroactively make it the toy
amend.
Of the year 2014.
Yeah.
But we've even tried. We're just like, what if we had like airsoft guns, but like turned them way down, like the electric? It's like, nah. Because you know what the test was, can we shoot this at like a poster frame with glass on it and have it not break that? And it's like, nah, airsoft break. No, you can't do that with airsoft.
No,
you'll break that glass.
I mean, you just shouldn't shoot things at glass.
Well, but my point is, you can shoot a Nerf gun at glass, and you're okay.
Technically, you should. In theory. You should be, but I mean, you just shouldn't shoot things at glass.
True.
Right?
Just as a general rule.
Right? Yeah, I feel like that's just like a normal thing.
The glass we're talking
by.
About in this office is poster glass and
those are some
LCD,
those are some
LED screen
glass.
And there's a lot of people sitting around working
on TV.
It's probably some sort of hazard.
I don't know why I remember this, but the biggest time I ever got in trouble with my parents was it wasn't Nerf guns. It's like totally unrelated to Nerf guns, but it was AOL CDs.
Okay, all right.
Do you remember AOL CDs?
Yeah. You could get stacks of them for free.
There was one summer that, like, for some reason, me and my brother and his friend just got obsessed with, like, we're going to get more AOL CDs than anybody.
You need
ever
to explain
gone.
This concept, because I feel like a lot of our listeners
have
AOL no idea.
AOL was a browser.
exactly. What is AOL?
Yeah. And these are free CDs, CD-ROMs.
Back in the beginning, so very quickly, for half of the people probably listening to this, the internet wasn't the internet. It wasn't broadband. It wasn't the way that you normally do it. It was like Google search engines, what have you. You paid for a service called America Online or CompuServe
Netscape
or eWorld, which was Apple's very short-sighted sort of foray into it. You would go into a closed-off like environment of the internet.
Like instead, it would be as if Google, instead of paying like Comcast or whoever your cable company is, you'd pay Google to use Chrome, essentially, for like $19 a month.
And you'd only be in like the Google space and be in Google chat rooms and all that. I mean, you wouldn't be any real websites.
And
at
AOL
all.
Was the biggest.
Huge.
And they used to have free AOL CDs everywhere, but they used to have kiosks like in grocery stores where there'd be just a ton of CDs. So it got to a point where one summer we just started riding our bikes around and we'd just take every single AOL CD from every kiosk, from every grocery store we could possibly find. Like we were literally like riding with trash bags full of AOL CDs, and then we just spend like hours.
How many CDs did you count?
We got 26,000.
What?
Counted. We had them on four ropes.
No,
I have a picture of it somewhere.
Way.
Four. It looked like a giant AOL CD snake. It took us like 3.5 months to do this.
Wow.
Were you planning anything with them? Or
no,
just
it was just
them?
This weird. Like we
just
got
to
do
count
it.
Them.
There's so you have no idea how many times we got like ran from like a guard would run after us because he thought we were stealing, and we just open up like sorry. And just all those AOL CDs like what? Just go. Like I don't know
doing,
what you
kid?
Kids are doing. And we just used them for a long time. We just like throw them like in the street because we lived up in a hill. We just throw them at each other. But
you
one
could
day,
whip them. You could get some distance.
Oh, you
could whip
and
them.
You could like you would cut each other like if you chucked them hard. Yeah. I remember one time I threw one so hard it broke the. My brother had AOL CD like loaded and ready to go to throw at me, and I threw it and it hit his AOL CD and exploded and cut his face.
Holy crap!
But anyways, nice. We used to always play with Nerf guns in our house, and then we still had all those AOL CDs, and I was not thinking at all, and we just decided to have a fight in my house with them.
Oh,
and we had eight
man.
People, and we. Like, literally, you're walking on AOL CDs by the end. We probably used, like, about 6,000 of them, over the course of, like, 20 minutes. And then I realized, as I looked at the carnage, I'm completely disrespecting my parents' like livelihood and house.
Yeah.
And just obliterated this thing. We desperately try to clean up. The problem is, they cause so much damage. And there's
you're
so many
to
pieces.
The walls and stuff,
the
right?
walls, the curtains, there's tears, glass. That's what I was thinking about because we broke like three different like picture frames.
Whoa.
We tried to clean up everything. My mom came
what
in.
What was in your mind?
Dude,
what
it,
were
was,
you guys
it was
thinking?
Like, wait, it was mom mentality madness.
How,
it was like
how old
the
were
idea.
You?
The
how
idea,
old were you?
This was like, I was still in elementary school. This was probably like sixth or seventh
oh my
grade.
God.
So like, it was that time.
Yeah.
It was like, and you could tell because the moment was all done, like,
uh-oh.
Every kid, like all of my friends, like we all just looked and they were just like, I gotta go home. They just all knew when we had done.
Thanks for the fun.
My mom, it took about 2 seconds. She came in and I was like, okay, I got, she can't see. Like, I got all the LCDs. I'll just say, like, I don't know what happened to the current album, but there was, you can't do that for 46 pieces of damage. Like, if you broke one thing, you'd be like, I don't know how that happened. Yeah, that was the worst. Like, I remember she was just like, you're staying here, you're waiting for your dad to come home.
What was the punishment?
I was probably grounded for like 2 weeks. I forget. It was something like...
Yeah, not bad.
I wasn't that bad of a kid.
Especially
so, like,
in sixth, seventh grade. Yeah. Like, where are you going anyway?
It was, you know, they could ground me for a year. It wouldn't as bad as just those disappointment talks.
It's the
like,
look, yeah.
It's that like...
what the fuck,
like, literally,
son?
Like, I cannot... Like, this is like... I don't even think my dad fathomed it.
Well,
this is like... You did... And like, having to explain the process of like, so you stole... AOL CDs.
So
you've been collecting them
4 months.
You've been collecting them. You've been hiding them.
Premeditated assaults on my home.
And then you threw them with six friends in the house.
I
remember them asking me like which friends, and then I was like, I didn't want to say. And he's like, I can't believe your friends would disrespect us.
Because Matt Arnold ain't no rat.
I mean, they knew I only had like three friends. So I was just like,
you know what? To be fair, you don't rat on your friends.
No, you don't.
You got to teach your kids.
No,
you know that's the worst though. When you're waiting for your parents. parents to scold you, and they look at you and they go, "You know what? I'm not even mad. I'm just disappointed."
Yeah, that's a thousand times.
I'm just
like, no, be mad. Be mad at me. I would be mad.
Real quick, no. My parents never used that tactic.
No disappointment.
They were just mad.
So I was like, son, you know, I'm always disappointed. I'm definitely mad right now.
No, the disappointment's constant. It's just a constant undertone.
Yeah.
See, they built the childhood on the bed of disappointment, whereas you guys, that was a punishment.
Yeah.
No, that was just the concept. No,
it's like
status quo.
It's like
baby.
The concept of original sin. You were born with disappointment.
Original Asian.
I can't be any more disappointed in you. So I'm just angry right now.
Do people get hurt?
Yeah, I mean, you'd always, you know, hurt in like you're a kid, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean,
you ever pop
if you had
those?
An AOL CD fight, you're coming out with some scratches. So yeah. It's like you're getting some cuts on the hand, you're getting some cuts on the knuckles.
You ever pop one of those bad boys in a microwave?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's a good time right there.
He had 26,000 deaths.
No,
of course he popped.
I don't condone anyone listening at home to do that. It's dangerous.
It was one of the biggest ways to the summer.
Dangerously fun!
It is really fun. I mean, that's how we did the... that's how we try to start the fire.
Well, you know what's going to happen real quick? Incidentally, there's going to be no more CDs very soon.
Yeah.
This is just going to...
How
gonna,
soon
like,
is that going to be? Like
probably pretty soon. Years. Like, here's my point. Kids are not going to know about putting CDs in a microwave. Yeah. It's just not going to be a thing anymore.
Yeah, CDs will be gone. Microwaves won't exist.
I mean, there's just so much. I was just thinking about it. It's like so much trash.
Wait, microwaves?
Like, there's just a lot of plastic for
who knows?
Nothing.
If you get to look far enough into the future, yeah, man. You can like 3D print your food in 10 years. You don't need a microwave.
Organic food.
Yeah. No.
No. On that freaky note, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, guys. Freddie here just to remind you that the Video Game High School Season 3 soundtrack is now available and live on iTunes. It contains 100 fully orchestrated symphonic tracks. Well, not all of them are fully orchestrated. A lot of them are fully orchestrated. It's some fantastic music, all from the third season, including the fantastic folk song sung by Raul Panther III at the beginning of episode 6. Now you can finally listen to it on your devices without having to just pull up episode 6 every single time you wanted to hear it. Head on over to iTunes and download the Video Game High School Season 3 soundtrack. It's fantastic. I highly recommend it. Also, if you're a fan of the board game, it's going to be available in hobby shops around the country this month, so keep an eye out for that. Video Game High School board game in hobby shops and the Video Game High School Season 3 soundtrack, available now on iTunes. Welcome back. And if you've been listening to the podcast for at all in the last month or so, you probably knew about this survey that we've been asking you guys to fill out, and we promised
the Christmas Cornucopia prize pack.
The Rocket Jump Christmas Cornucopia prize pack, which consists of Steam game of your choice and a whole Rocket Jump swag bag, in addition to someone was getting a $100 Amazon gift card. Well, someone did get that $100 gift card, and today we're here to announce the three winners of the Rocket Jump Cornucopia prize pack. Benji, it's got his handy-dandy random generator machine.
Drum roll, Alex?
Yeah, the information device. The information device. Our first winner... he already knows because I had to ask him how to pronounce his last name correctly.
Okay.
So congratulations, Kevin Wynn.
Kevin Wynn.
Kevin.
That's a name for a winner.
Big win
right
for
there.
Kevin Wynn. Kevin Wynn, thank you for filling out the survey and enjoy that cornucopia.
Steam game of your choice. Here's a hint. By the way, don't do this BS. Don't choose. Your Steam game can't be like the THQ pack, which is like a $600 pack of 18 THQ games.
You never, to be fair, you never...
Okay, I'll put it this way. I'll be disappointed in you if you decide to try and loophole me like that.
I don't think
that.
Anybody would have done it, but now that you said it.
Crap, you're right.
Kevin Wynn's going to be like, come on, Fred.
Every game made by...
wait, how are they getting the game? Like, you're sending them a thing?
No, they send us a thing. We'll send them a download code.
Oh, we'll just say limit to one game. Just say a game.
A game.
Yeah.
Singular.
Sorry.
Winner number two, Benji.
There you go.
That's just deflated the whole...
It felt like
we won something, and now it's like...
And now
like,
you just took it away.
I didn't take it away. That's why they put the like rules in fine print, so they don't ruin the fun.
Okay, all right.
When you win
this stuff. Is the fine print. That's me, baby.
Yeah. Our next winner is Preston Ray.
Ew, Preston.
Preston Ray.
Preston Way. You get a cornucopia.
Christmas cornucopia prize pack.
Hope you have a PC
Preston.
For that Steam game that you'll be picking.
Preston Ray.
Or a Mac. Or a Mac.
And
or
then our
Mac.
Final... Winner.
Final winner, Benji. Here we go.
Hold on, I gotta find it. Where did it go? I just lost it.
Ooh, the suspense is killing me.
It's not, but
lost it. It's gone.
We don't have a third winner, ladies and gentlemen.
Here she is, and our third winner is Natalie Roman.
Oh, boom. Natalie Roman!
Congratulations, Natalie, and thank you for filling out the survey.
There we go. Those are our three winners.
Thank you for bolstering the female demographic on the survey when you filled it out.
Yep.
Cool.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for
participating, and enjoy the giveaways.
Thanks very much. We're going to keep doing this. It's fun. We like to talk to you guys, et cetera. Matt, you had a little topic for us on the way back.
I was going to ask about movies, but I was trying to see if there's anything cool at CES. I just saw some guy beat the game with all blocks invisible in Tetris.
What?
I have nothing to add to that other than just that.
Yeah.
Happened.
Okay.
Wait, that's not real then.
Somebody just made something up. So you're telling me a guy stared at an empty screen and like moved the keyboard? How do you know he was actually doing it?
I don't know.
Yeah. Totally.
Elaborate. The most Emperor's New Clothes ever.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, so I just put on Tetris and
like it's just him. It's just him sitting there. It's like, waiting for the long piece. There it is.
There it's got
and
it.
And I'm going to put it in the back core, and that's Tetris.
Well, the score was going up. So everyone's sitting there just like, score.
Yeah, this guy's worse than
it's like golf clap.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
and
I don't believe
it. Long piece.
I don't believe it.
Piece.
What's going on with?
Is there cool stuff happening already at CES?
That's what I can see if anything was cool, but I haven't seen anything. There's some new Oculus Killer. Supposedly,
yeah, Razer's doing some Oculus stuff. Actually, our friends at PlayFight are doing something over at CES. They're doing a 3D printer.
Right.
Yeah,
what makes their 3D printer cooler or different?
So
or differentiate from other 3D printers?
They're doing a 3D printer called the Nea. NEA. And they have a website, nea3d.com. And here's what it is. Their whole thing was basically 3D printers are cool. 3D printers are huge. Like, if you look at MakerBots, just gigantic, big box. And I've actually thought about this. I was like, I want to buy one of these. But then I was like, I don't know where I'd put this. It's like a big box.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
In the office.
Oh, yeah, sure, Matt. This is very slowly. Just take all my personal belongings, put it in the office so that you can use it, right?
That's what I do.
Yeah, that's true. So they have that, and then so their whole thing is, all right, well, one, let's just make it more efficient in terms of space. So it's like a cylinder, and they have more print space, and they have more sort of usable print space, and it's cheaper than like pretty much everything else. So that's pretty, I gotta admit, I don't know too much about 3D printing. I'm not huge into that world, but it's a sexy looking 3D printer.
Yeah, that's
some
a nice looking unit.
It does look nice.
Looks like
stuff.
The new Mac Pro.
Most 3D printers look like like a thing built in a garage. Essentially,
yeah. So they're trying
consumer product.
This is some 6 day stuff.
Yeah,
some consumer product level.
Yeah,
stuff.
They kind of looked at the new Mac Pro as sort of a little bit of inspiration for it.
Yeah,
as a sort of a cylindrical, it can sit on your desk and you're not embarrassed by it, and you don't have to clear out a whole like a side room.
What's like the coolest thing you can imagine printing from a 3D printer?
So right actually, I was thinking about this because the problem is a lot of people say like 3D printers of the future. It's gonna be forks. You can print a fork. It's like, I don't think like consumer products are going to be the thing.
No.
Because you can go buy a fork. You can also go buy.
But you can print a fork too.
Yeah,
3D printer. Who goes to buy a fork? You get a fork.
No, but I'm saying we're in a future where it's like you have Amazon. Amazon's going to be like instantaneous. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like you're getting to a point where it's like you could also just like Amazon a whole cutlery set and don't have to wait.
You can just fresh it and they bring you a fork.
Or whatever.
Within 12
hours. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I was really blown away with the first transmission up to the space station with a 3D printer. I think that's the perfect. I don't think you can have a better application.
Well,
they sent a wrench, the instructions for a wrench, and then a wrench was built. Like, imagine Apollo 13. Like if you're in a dire situation, whatever tool you don't have,
that
can
also
be sent to
that also changes
like
the game because you don't have to store all that heavy equipment on a shuttle that then requires all that additional fuel.
Well, so you print something and discard it. Like that's a game changer.
So I think
that's
the big
amazing.
One is
pretty awesome.
The big one is I think what people are kind of thinking about now and what I've started to see is its customizability of something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if it's someone who it's all kind of very specific stuff. And that's I think what's kind of interesting about 3D printers is that they're kind of figuring out what is this good for the average person.
But
right?
I feel like that's why it would be like small for at least right now small scale consumer products. Like obviously a fork sounds boring, but it's like if you could have a custom fork company, it's like, well, you send us what you want and like the design you want, and then our website and app makes the thing for you.
Yeah.
And then it just goes to your 3D printer, and ta-da, you have a
Doctor Who
TARDIS.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what I'm saying. It's like stuff like that. It's just going to be nothing but awful and amazing IP infringing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
great. Like, that's going to be the future. It's like, hey, man, I like Star Wars.
Lots
and
of Star
I like
Wars.
Chess. I'm going to make a Star Wars chess set.
Oh, yeah. The idea that you got like pirate action figures.
Oh, yeah.
Now is like, or not, I mean, not now, but soon is like nuts, right? It's like, oh, models.
Well, just, I always love it. Remember the whole like pirating thing? Was like, you wouldn't download a car. And I was like, wait, hold on.
Of course you can.
Fuck yeah,
I'd
download the car.
I
was like, are you telling me it's like you wouldn't download the car? I was like, wait, are you telling me that I could have a car, not pay for it, not have to steal it from anyone, have it be completely free, and just have a car and have not
just have it materialize,
In front of me. It's like, fuck yeah, I'd do that. What do you mean I wouldn't download
a
car?
I'd
download the shit out of a car. Like, yeah. What are you talking about?
Sign me up.
When that commercial happened, I thought you could, and I just spent hours trying to Google what is this thing that they're saying I wouldn't do
on AOL.
On AOL,
you got on AOL. You go into all the chat rooms.
Yeah, I'm going to tour sites after this podcast. I'm looking for cars, baby.
You know, the 3D printed like guns and gun parts as one
that's
direction. Which is interesting because a gun is after all said and done is basically a spring and a pin and that's it and like a cylinder like that's like a gun
and basically. It's just designed to not break when an explosion happens inside of it,
right? Exactly. You know, and it's like, so there's that side of it that's interesting. You know, I could see like 3D printing being like really interesting for like Etsy style or like artisanal bakers and stuff, where it's like, oh, I can do custom like stuff on cakes and everything,
macaroons
now. And all kinds of crazy molds and things like that for that end.
What are like the best looking? Because the thing I've seen is like anytime I finally see a 3D printed thing, it has a very, it looks like it's like the 3D version of old printers, where it's like you see
the
very clear line and stepping. So like,
so the way, so
it's nowhere near consumer level yet. To
so
me,
there's
like,
a really interesting. There's actually a bunch of companies trying to address that one, which is they're doing an interesting thing where they're basically having like baths or things for them. You can put it in a thing and it'll just kind of like, or like melt it a little bit.
Yeah, just
to
heat
like,
it a little bit
to
so
like,
kind of smooths it out.
Yeah, there's like a whole like kind of embossing sort of side of things. A lot of people who like use that for stuff, they'll sand it. And do
yeah,
like,
afterwards.
You know,
the, but it obviously makes it not consumer
Yeah,
ready.
Exactly. But then there's a certain level of like, by the way, like if like D&D figures, like, yo, Matt, you want to be in this D&D?
No, that's definitely
like,
a big...
Like, that's rad!
That's a big thing with board gaming and like miniatures. I mean, obviously even miniatures in film, we've talked about this, like it's going to completely change how you can, how easy it is to do miniatures for filmmaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, definitely it's 3D printing's already become a huge... if you get into board gaming, one of the nerdy things you do is people love...
Sleeve all your cards
well,
like Matt does?
Cards, but people love to cut, especially like board games are not... Right, video game, you sit down, it's on the TV, it's super easy. Like, when you're playing something like Eldritch Horror, there's hundreds of tokens. So, like, you start getting really nerdy and specific about, like, ooh, how can I improve, like, setup time? If only there was a tray that held these cards. But, like, there's no company that's going to make the tray specifically
for that board
game that 10,000 people own.
Yeah, right.
So, board gamers, and it's surprising how many board games are essentially, like, hardware guys or craftsmen or, like, you know, or carpenters, because they'll do custom, like, here's inserts for board games.
Yeah,
but
there's a whole
printers,
Dominion box, right?
There's multiple Dominion boxes. There's a whole company that does wooden inserts that fit inside the board game box and replace, like, the crappy inserts, but they're all, like, handmade wood and whatnot, or laser cut wood. But yeah, now 3D printers, there's tons of people who are like, oh, here's the instructions for 3D printed, like, cool figures that hold up the gates, you know, of the Eldritch Horror and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, I definitely see it on that, like, Etsy, like, customizable thing. It just depends on if, you know, will people like just sell the plans, you know, like $2 to
download. That's an interesting
question,
right?
Because
now it's becoming, now you're talking about piracy of actual objects, because it's like you sell the plans, but then it's like, oh, well, is there gonna be some like Pirate Bay for just like,
oh,
I
for
want
sure.
this, you know what I mean, because they're small files.
Yeah
That's pretty cool.
I want 3D
printing
now.
That's pretty cool.
I want some board game stuff.
Awesome. And
I would Maybe love scary. To see
let's get,
a D&D
let's
figure
get a play fight.
Of Matt Arnold sitting there with his little sword.
I mean, I don't play D&D. How about like a cool, you know, Eldritch Horror figure? I like put myself in Star Wars, like a little Stormtrooper outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Why am I a Stormtrooper? No, I'll be like Han Solo's right hand man. It'd be cool.
Han Solo's right hand man.
We should totally make...
Who
yeah,
is
we
that?
Already
you
have yourself
Chewbacca?
In a board game. I'm not in a board game, Freddy. we should totally make figures of ourselves. We should get like... an artist to do some little renders of us and
That'd
then
be
make like yeah board game figures of ourselves. That'd be cool.
You know, actually, I'll tell you one thing. So I was playing a lot of board game on the cruise, and the one thing that I haven't seen yet that I kind of wish there was is a lot of board games will revolve around a coin mechanic, right? Like a currency mechanic. And the way they do it in these board games, they'll have like, you know, cardboard circles that you punch out, and that sucks.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like how much more fun would like Coup be if I was like splashing ducats into the pot, but it was like just big like doubloon coin, like metal coins.
Dude, there are like 50 websites.
Oh, really?
There are so many websites for like for redoing all tokens for board games.
Oh,
nobody likes cardboard.
No,
like, it's just cheap. Like if
wait,
if,
this exists? This is great.
If all board games came with like plastic pieces for every single piece, it'd be like $200.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you can go online and like anything, like Coup, like they'll just have like Netrunner. They have all the rupees, all and those are all 3D printed. like 3D printed like rupees and credits and whatnot. Yeah, really? You can find everything.
Oh, that's awesome. Because that was the thing. I was like sitting there and be like, I want to be like.
It's just money sink. It's just board games just become just like anything
because
else.
Because it's so much more fun. Because we actually replaced, when we were playing, we played For Sale and Coup, we replaced all that with just Josh's poker chip set.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, this works. It's more fun.
Yeah.
But it's like, I want like metal coins. I want to be able to like slowly play with it as I look someone down and be like, I assassinate you. And so, yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, cool. For sure. I remember in Dominion when they started doing coins, they did, and they were small, but they did like full metal coins. They're really heavy.
Whoa.
And it's just a lot more fun than. So much about board games, like a lot of the art is it's how tactile it is, like what's fun about it. Like that's why wood pieces are nicer than like crappy cardboard pieces. So people like miniature games. It's fun to move, you know, actual people and whatnot.
It's fun to pretend that you're a little plastic figure.
Yeah,
it's fun to paint your plastic figures too.
We should get some credits for Coup. Because Coup does feel like a game you want to like not just pick up three little cardboard pieces or
you want to
push seven cardboard pieces like they're you're dead.
You want to splash that.
Yeah,
shit.
You want to throw like seven gold like coins the size of your
fist. You want the sound, the clanging of metal
like,
to resonate
your death
to resonate
this.
In your opponent's ears
yeah.
as they get kicked out of the game and have to go and grab a drink for the next 20 minutes while you finish the game of Coup.
Just play Coup.
It's not bad.
It's a fun game.
Anyway, so you're saying that exists? That's great. That's fantastic. Yep. That's good.
Yeah.
The other thing, actually, that, and also, you know, you mentioned nerdy things, and I kind of shouted this out, was card sleeving, which is apparently, because Jimmy got really into Magic.
Yeah.
As I think, as a lot of people know, he has a Magic podcast.
Yep.
for podcast listeners. And I come home now, and it's like I'm walking into like a schizophrenic card shop. Like, there's so many Magic cards everywhere. Yep. And there's just empty sleeves. He's like, oh, I haven't sleeved those yet. I'm like, what are you doing with your life? Here's what a 3D printer thing is, right? 3D print a mechanical device that you put a stack of sleeves and a stack of cards and like a lever that you like move and it just sleeves stuff for you.
You could. I feel like it's such a precise thing to do.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, you know, they build spaceships, so you can build that. It's just in the realm of human abilities. You know, for me, the sleeving is like literally part of the fun, because like when I get a deck of cards, like it's like, especially Magic, you play with like 1% of the cards you ever buy.
Oh,
so when I sleeve them, it's like the only time I actually like get to look at the card. Like when I sleeve them, I use sleeving to like look at the card. I'm like,
do you double sleeve?
That's a cool card. No, that's insane.
Explain double sleeving to me, please.
You sleeve both ways, right?
Yeah,
so the
you
card
double
doesn't
sleeve
slip
it.
Out. Yeah.
Are you explaining like why you do it?
Why?
So I have water spills. The problem is like when.
But real quick. If you're talking about Magic tournament, let's be honest. If Dr. Pepper spills onto your cards.
Double sleeve is insane. I mean,
Mountain
water. They're not drinking water at these Magic tournaments.
I think only thing in Magic is like
spills
sometimes.
All cards.
If it has more protection, I mean, you know, if you're playing Magic, there are definitely, especially if you're playing like Legacy or like stuff that involves older cards, like you are definitely using cards that could cost $300 to $400, and you are shuffling that $300 to $400 piece of cardboard. So I can imagine double sleeving to make sure you don't, you know.
And you only use 1%?
One what?
Percent of the cards you buy?
Well, yeah, because in Magic, you buy a ton of cards, and it's all random, and then you look through, and then you construct your deck.
Yeah.
Like, your Magic deck is 60 cards. You probably bought
600
cards.
6,000.
More like 6,000.
How many different possible character or combo?
Oh,
like,
dude, are you kidding?
So in Magic,
your deck can only be 60,
here's a quick bit of math.
New things all the time?
Yeah, so every block of Magic is like, think of it like a season of a TV show or something, right?
Okay.
And you play it within that block. That block will have maybe like 900 cards in it. A deck is made out of 60 cards, but you can have four of each type of card. So your deck is really made out of 11 cards that you have duplicates of. So you need 3 times or 4 times 11 cards plus just crappy lands within the base of like 900 cards. But you only get 15 random cards every time you buy a deck. So you're buying like... People buy cards individually. If you were to try to get your entire deck random boosters, you'd buy like 20,000 cards.
I think we need to invent our own card.
If you guys
card games are a way to
this,
make money.
If this conversation has not turned you off completely, I recommend. And you're still here.
He's as good as
calculations
of if you're still
magic
here,
cards.
I came here to get my face rocked. What is happening?
Feel free to check out Jimmy and Josh's Magic podcast, The Command Zone.
That's a little taste of Command Zone. Actually, they're much more articulate on Magic than I am.
Wait, what? Benji, though, hold on. Could you imagine, though, for a second? Wait, is there a WWE card game?
No.
Like a CCG
for
WWE?
I mean, there's probably
like,
WWE
you have to have and you have to have a ring that you have to like, play into, and then you can do like tag teams. Like, that'd be rad.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Imagine
no, they don't have it though. But that's just so many.
It's collecting so many, is part of it.
The theme of this cards. Podcast is like plastic and like, cardboard waste.
Yep, man. I mean, because Ashley's grandma got me Cards Against Humanity, and like as I was just thinking about that, like, yeah, we need to get a card game. That's like, it's just a money printer.
If
you can get a critical mass of people to play and have a show up and
yeah. It's like a Vegas.
Yeah, you know what we should do, Matt? We should invent some kind of app that it takes people's money and puts it in our accounts, but it also does something else useful, like an Uber something.
The point is
that would be great. That'd be a moneymaker, right, Dez?
The point is, even if you make like a hugely popular board game, like unless it's like, you know,
it's
like
Catan, right?
Yeah, it's like Catan that's like lasting forever, which gets there like three or four of them. Like, even if you get a huge board game, you're selling 10,000 to 20,000, the end. And then if you do expansions, you're going to sell, you know, 1 or 2,000 of that expansion, and that's it. Like a card game, if you can get somebody hooked onto like a like any sort of card game, it's like a microtransaction thing. You're just, and it's the cheapest possible sort of game you can make. It's just cards. Let's do it. Let's do it for the right reasons.
Money. To make shitloads of money.
I think the theme of this podcast is like, how much of our time and money can we waste on goofy toys and games?
That's a theme of our lives, arguably, Dez. Like, come on, let's not. I'm looking at the guy across the office with the Predator figure and the Walking Dead posters behind his desk.
How much
of our time can we?
I'm definitely lumping myself in that category. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. But isn't that, aren't these temporary diversions on the road to the grave, to borrow from Akewood, aren't they really what make life worth living?
It's something.
I mean, maybe it's worth living.
Oh man, this got dark.
Definitely distracts you.
Wow. It definitely.
So, yes, fantastic, Matt. Real way to bring it down.
I didn't mean to bring it down.
But what a way to start 2015, guys. What are we doing here? I don't wake up until 2 p.m., guys.
I'll tell you another great way to start 2015, Dez.
Yeah.
Glad that you mentioned that. Why not kick off 2015 right? Get yourself a copy of the VGHS Season 3 soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Finally up.
Which is finally up. And by the way, Matt, iTunes. Matt's a big, big purveyor of film soundtracks. Matt, what's your review of our soundtrack here?
Well, I mean, I think I'm a little biased.
That's fine. There's a conflict of interest here.
Look, I mean, I have said, I think the Season 3 soundtrack is really good. So Igor has struggled with us because you need to get a cut as soon as possible in order to actually construct beautiful music around what you're doing. Because you're not just making music, you're making music set to a cut. And the way we work, I think season one, he was writing like the entire score for an episode.
And we didn't have
within like 5 days, which is insane. Mm-hmm. And like he did a great job every season, but like it's, you know, and I told him like it's always been my dream to have like a soundtrack because I love movie soundtracks that like I could just listen to. Like, season 2 has a lot of cues that are really, really good. But again, he had this similar problem. There was only so much time. Season 3, I think, was the first season where we finally had, or at least he knew how to work with us. He had more time than ever.
Yeah.
And there was like a good 15 minutes of just like awesome. Like, I would listen to that soundtrack even if I wasn't.
There's some
even
great.
Even if I didn't know Video Game High School. Like, I listen to soundtracks of terrible movies that have great soundtracks from great composers.
Yeah, he definitely stepped the game up.
And you can now listen to a great soundtrack of a mediocre web show.
So, it's a great. There are. The cue of I Love That Pump with Jumpin' Jacks and Brandy is incredible. The Sergio Leone-esque, Ennio Morricone-esque cue leading into the big fight in episode 6 is like the best thing's ever done. And then the freaking social gamer cue is beautiful. Like it's absolutely lovely.
Fantastic music. And by the way, we don't skimp out on the track count this time around. How many tracks?
And for all you gamer gators out there, I'm exposing the fact that I know Igor personally. And I'm involved in Video Game High School, the show. So I just want to put that out there. You know, ethics and journalism. Just want to make sure everybody knows that I have bias.
This is a paid for
stand up. That's a stand up move.
Yeah, it's a stand up move. Thank you.
Yeah. You're
a good guy. Integrity here at Rocket Jump.
But dude, what's the track count of this?
It's huge. It's also 100 tracks for season 3.
100 tracks.
Why don't you tell the kids where they can go get all these tracks?
Including, by the way, including the fantastic intro folk song that we
so the Lionheart song's on there, and that's one of those things where like in a perfect world, if we had a lot of money, you get a soundtrack supervisor to really like combine cues, and Igor did some of that himself. So there's a lot of cues in there that are like a good 2 or 3 cues that are combined to be like a nice 4-minute song. I was responsible for editing the soundtrack, and it came to me at like 146 tracks. I did my best to get rid of like a lot of like 10-second cues, but I figured people wanted it, so it's like you pretty much get the whole thing.
You like, get everything. It's some of the best.
It's good.
Best music ever written for anything ever. Yeah. I'll
and what better way to listen to it than cruising down in your new 2015 Honda Accord, brought to you by Gaudi Honda.
Big Mad Mike Big and Gaudi Honda. Honda.
What I'm saying is, I guess somebody contacted Benji asking if this was a real plug. Look, Big Mike at Gaudi Honda had no idea I would have been doing this every time until my dad, I guess, like met him at the cigar shop and showed him the last podcast. And my dad was like trying to be like, hey, you know, Big Mike, you know, Matt's doing some good work. Maybe you can throw some advertising money his way. He's like, one, why would I? They're doing it for free.
Yeah.
And two, there's like probably four people who listen to this that are within the area that could buy a car from Big Mike. However, I guess a kid contacted us. Yeah. Is this a real plug? It is not a real plug in terms of, like, there is no deal with Gaudi Honda. However, if you do go to Gaudi Honda and tell them that Matt sent you and ask for Big Mike, he will probably take care of you, and he will probably laugh a lot if you show up. And yeah, he'll be a good guy. You'll get a good deal.
Hey, they take care
of
you
there. I promise 50% off from a 2015 Accord if you use the pre-order bonus code.
I don't know if you can do that, Matt. I don't know if you can do that, Matt.
Use the coupon hashtag, MadMike. Just hashtag him on the way in, ladies and gentlemen.
Hashtag MadMike.
Real quick, so yeah, the VGHS Season 3 soundtrack available on iTunes off our site.
What's the price point on that?
How much is that?
$12.99
for 100 tracks.
2 hours of music.
That's crazy.
That's a better
That's
deal.
That's an incredible deal.
That's an incredible deal. I'm going to go buy that right now.
Go spend some of that Christmas money.
Get that. You guys, listen, you guys out there. I know you got the iTunes gift cards. I know you like VGHS and the music they're in. Why don't you spend it on the soundtrack? All right, so it's up on the iTunes.
As full and realistic, like, it is.
It's a great soundtrack.
Live orchestrated. We spend serious money to make that soundtrack sound as beautiful.
Nothing else. By the way, real quick, even real TV shows don't really use live orchestra.
It's true. It's expensive to do. It sounds great.
But we do it because it's worth it.
We love it.
All right.
Also, the board game. The board game actually comes out in stores probably by the time this thing launches.
Stores, Matt?
All board game hobby shops. We don't have an exact retail date because, you know, it ships from China or wherever and it's on the boat. So they never really quite know when it will go in the store until it shows up.
That's they never know when the boat shows up.
Board games aren't like video games where it's like December 13th. It's like it will show up sometime this month, but it will be in stores by the end
of
January.
And if it's not in your store, feel free to ask the proprietor of that board game shop to put a request in to stock it.
Yep.
And they can
you can buy it from our website.
That's right. Shop.rocketjob.com. Anyway, enough plugging for our stuff.
Yeah.
Welcome
wait,
to
wait,
the...
there's nothing else we can sell?
There's nothing else we can sell?
I mean, we need to start off this fiscal year, right? So if we have stuff that we could sell, we
Matt's
should try to do
Matt's got an untitled card game he's going to be kickstarting in the next 2 hours.
Yeah. I suppose you could go to our PayPal and just throw money our way. And we'll find something to do with it.
Send gifts to the PayPal. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Very funny, guys. Anyway,
happy 2015, everybody. Happy 2015. I'm pretty stoked to be back with all you
we
guys
a lot of
and
cool,
all of our listeners.
Fun. Good mm-hmm. stuff coming at you this
year. It'll be a big year.
We're very excited for you to take part in it as well. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Benji, say bye.
Bye.